This is the Mindset Toolkit Podcast. The continual pursuit of improvement.
How's everybody going? My name is Selwyn, host of the Mindset Toolkit Podcast, and on this episode, I'll be talking about the book The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. I'll be distilling down some of the concepts and main points that Horowitz raises in this great book. Thanks for joining me. So to begin with, I didn't know who Ben Horowitz was before reading this book, but it got some really good reviews. So a bit of background off of Ben Horowitz's website. Horowitz is a co-founder and general partner of the venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz and the New York Times bestselling author of The Hard Thing About Hard Things. Prior to A16Z, Ben was co-founder and CEO of Opsware, formerly LoudCloud, which was acquired by Hewlett-Packard in 2007 for $1.6 billion. He was appointed vice president and general manager of business technology optimization for software at HP. Earlier, he was vice president and general manager of America Online's e-commerce platform division, where he oversaw development of the company's flagship shop at AOL Service. Previously, Ben ran several product divisions of Netscape Communications. He also served as vice president of Netscape's wildly acclaimed directory and security product line. Before joining Netscape in 1995, he held various senior product marketing positions at Lotus Development Corporation. He also serves on the board of the following Andreessen Horowitz portfolio companies: 21, Capriza, Databricks, Foursquare, Genius, Lyft, Magnet Systems, Medium, NationBuilder, Okta, SignalFX, Tanium, TransferWise, and Usermind. He is also on the board of Columbia University and Code 2040. So he has quite the background and quite the extensive resume and has a lot of experience in startups, venture capital firms, funding, management, and a lot of other very huge business names that we're all aware of in the IT industry. So that kind of sets a framework up for the background and the area, the angle of attack that the book takes with its description of how to go about handling hard things. He introduces the book by saying the hard thing is laying people off when you miss a big goal. The hard thing is when those great people develop a sense of entitlement and demanding unreasonable things. It's also getting people to communicate within an organization that you've designed, and also waking up in the middle of the night when the dream turns into a nightmare. The book provides a recipe for challenges that have no recipes. In a weird way, businesses don't have easy fixes to complicated problems. The basic idea slash concept behind the book is that you must do the hard things necessary in order to be successful. And he's done a lot of hard things in his time. And there was basically no easy answer to any of the challenges that he faced. And that's kind of reiterated story after story in this book with different strategies and different concepts to kind of get through that. I'll try and skip a lot of the stories directly relating to the narrative of his own business startup, selling to venture capitalists, becoming a venture capitalist, and try and get the concepts down that he used in order to deal with the problems that he faced in those different tasks. I don't think we can kind of skip past that because the tools that he used, that I think that he used, can be applied to any area of your life, no matter what industry or position you happen to be in, whether you're leading a company, starting a company, helping a company get their feet off the ground, things like that. So we're kind of going right into chapter two, which still kind of talks about his story. But the concept of one of the concepts of this is raising money from private investors. People forget that they should really only focus on one person. You only need one person to say yes when you can have 100 people saying no. And I think this applies very well to a lot of other things in life where focus on, you're going to get a lot of no's in your life, whether it's sales, looking for work, looking for financing. You're going to face a lot of no's on this path that you've ventured down, and you really only need to stay focused on getting that yes. The no's are inevitable. No one's going to never not get a no in asking people for time, money, knowledge, information, whatever the case may be. But you can't let the no's stop you from proceeding forward because no's are just a part of the journey. And in startups, there's only two emotions. You're either really happy or you're terrified. And when you're in those two situations, you're going to find you'll need two types of friends. when something good happens in your life, that they'll be genuinely excited for you, and then you need another type of friend that you can call when things are going horribly wrong. The next couple of points address how you'll be feeling during these times of crisis, and how to manage and run a group effectively. So you always want to be open and honest with your teammates, especially in a time of crisis. You don't want to be the manager that's always has their head in the clouds and is always positive about everything, because your team is going to see through that. We've all experienced it when we know that times are bad, but people around us seem to ignore that, and you never really take what they have to say with a true demeanor and actually accept what they say, because you think they're just fluffing it up and not giving you the truth. In big organizations, big movements can come down to one person delaying the whole project. One little domino not falling can set up a huge delay. So you kind of want to think about your battle plans and anything in your life that can be held up by one person, and try and address that before that becomes an issue. You want to find out what your competition, customers, and staff truly want, or to how to solve their problems, and figure out how to give it to them if it helps you achieve your goals. So, as Zig Ziglar said, you can get anything you want in life as long as you help other people. You always want to try and do what's morally right, even if it may cost you in the short term. I think this comes down to looking in the long term. What legacy, what image do you want to provide? Do you want to be left behind with? Do you want to be known as a person that's always doing the right thing? People trust you, people believe you, and people want to follow you? Or do you want to be the person that people know your reputation as being the person that's somewhat right and he's not always truthful or honest? It's just something to think about, your own personal beliefs there. In tough times, everyone must come together. And by being honest when times are grim, it rallies the staff together. It puts you in to working towards a common goal. Everyone realizes you're in a time of crisis, so they band together and work stronger as a team. Innovation was requiring a combination of knowledge, skill, and courage. And finally, if you can build nothing into something, you can always do it again. So don't fear failure. Don't fear failure, because if you can take yourself from zero to one once, you can go to zero to one again, in which case you'll be able to go from one to two and so on. You're building stepping blocks along the way, and failure is never fatal unless you let it be fatal. The next couple of things talk about when he hit tough times as an entrepreneur, when things started to fall apart. You shouldn't play the odds, because they don't matter. It's only your task at hand that matters. So it comes down to some other statistics where people say that 50% of small businesses will fail in the first year. What does that mean to you? It doesn't really mean anything. All it should mean is that you're aware of the risks and you just need to work harder and harder and harder than anybody else in the game. 50% fail, but 50% succeed, and that's like a flip of a coin. And that shouldn't stop you from doing something just because someone says the odds are stacked against you, because you control your own outcome. The ability to make a move when there are no good moves available. You're always going to screw up, so you need to figure out how to make a move after this. So just accept that you're going to get hit and figure out how to keep moving forward after that. Every CEO starts a company with a clear vision of success in mind. However, when reality does set in, there are many hardships along the way and many problems. Self-doubt sets in, and you find yourself in what he calls the struggle. So everyone's got a plan. Everyone thinks a plan's going to come out just nicely, and in reality, that plan is going to go right out the window. We've all experienced this in anything from trying to lose weight, get in shape, find a job, change careers. You just need to accept that your line of success is not going to be a straight line. No one's is. It's going to be ups, downs, lefts, rights, front and back, everywhere. Because the struggle is not failure, but it causes failure if you're weak. And that's where the greatness comes from. The greatness comes from you being able to struggle and fight through this, the grit and the determination to fight through when others might stop. Because just because you're having a hard time and just because you're struggling doesn't mean it's not working unless you stop. So how do you handle yourself in times of failure? Especially if you're in a team or you have a team around you, so you just need to find support, whether that through family or friends, but you definitely don't want to take on the burden of all the problems by yourself. You need to include the team around you, because you might not see it, but they might, someone else might be able to help you out, because there's always a move to be made. Whether you think you've lost all the money in the world, there's always more funding to come around. If you made a mistake that you think is fatal, there's always something else that you can do to move forward and to zig and zag to just get to where you ultimately want to go. You also need to remember that to play long enough and you'll survive. I mean, that's really the biggest part of this. Play for the long term. Don't go for the short term. Don't lose sight in the short term of the long term. And never take it personally. This is huge, I think. You didn't fail as a person. You just failed. Your idea was the only thing that failed. And a CEO mustn't always be positive. They must be honest above all else. People will see past your facade, as we talked about earlier. Trust is proportional to how much communication is needed. This was an interesting point, because if you have no trust in somebody, nothing that they say will make a difference to your opinions about them. But if you have complete trust in someone, they won't need to explain to you the reasoning behind their actions because you have this implicit trust in them. Kind of a funny little couple of points there. The more the brain is working on a problem, the better. So this goes back to relying on your team. You're not the only smart person in the room, and hopefully you shouldn't be the smartest person in the room. You should have surrounded yourself with a team of people that are way smarter than you and have way more abilities than you so that they can help you solve problems that you might not see. In most teams, bad news travels fast and good news travels slowly. So in most companies, the men in the trenches know the problem long before it would ever be fatal. But if your company culture doesn't encourage communications, the bosses and the managers will never find out, and by that time that they do, it's going to be too late, which is very, very bad, obviously. Once you need to do a bad task, like layoffs, you must act ASAP. This also stands for your reputation, because gossip spreads, so if you know that something bad on the horizon is going to happen, you need to address that as soon as you possibly can. I think this goes for life in general, not just for businesses and doing hard decisions. I think it comes down to just taking clear, concise action with aggression and proactivity. You never want to be resting on your laurels, because now you're playing into someone else's proactivity. It's never yours. And you must be clear in your mind why this must happen, and you never sugarcoat the real reason. Especially true for doing hard things like firing people. But it also goes back to really understanding your why and why you're doing something, and needing to fall back onto that to push you through the hard times. The true test of any leader is how they handle difficult situations. It's easy to run a ship that's on smooth seas, but to run a ship successfully through a really bad storm takes a lot of skill. He goes through a couple of points that he believes makes a CEO effective in hard times, but just effective in general. But I think these points hold well for anybody in their own day-to-day life. I think all of them hold true for everybody. So first point is, you use clear, concise, and decisive language. Now, never dodge the facts. Always be respectful. How you act is how you communicate to the whole company. You want to prepare for the future instead of dwelling on the past. And during hard times, the truth is the first thing to go, and excuses will sneak into the equation. So when you fail, you're not going to look to fix a situation. You might look at who to blame for the situation, and that's dwelling on the past, which isn't going to get you ready for the future. Humans generally only listen to leading indicators of good things. So his example was, if there's a metric that shows that engagement is increasing, generally they'll start hiring up and preparing for the boom. However, if the opposite happens, generally they'll explain it away but not take any action to prepare for the doom. People like to excel in times of success, but then they never want to face the realities of failure, I think. And really coming back to the concept of the hard thing about hard things is, never think of a singular silver bullet to solve a problem. What's most likely going to have to happen is that you're going to have to do a lot of little hard things, i.e. lead bullets. So his notion is that don't try and spend all your time and resources looking for that one little thing that's going to solve every single problem that you have. What you're really going to have to do is work hard at all the little hard things that no one wants to do and that aren't the most glamorous or concise solutions, but they are the little actions that are going to lead to you being successful and getting through the hump. And maybe on the side, a silver bullet will come along, but really only from doing these hard things. And when things go wrong in a company, nobody cares. All they care about is a solution. Since a problem won't save their job, I think this applies really well in any situation. When something goes wrong, no one cares about excuses and reasons as to why the problem happened. They just want to know how it can be fixed. There's the whole back to don't cry over spilt milk. Get a napkin and wipe it up. You need to take actions to rectify any problems that have happened, whether or not it was your fault or not. If you're able to fix a problem that's directly affecting you or someone else, and you know how to take care of it, take that action. Don't look around and point fingers. It doesn't achieve anything. All it's doing is living in the past and not preparing for the future. So I think that's a good time to kind of end this podcast. There's probably another three-part series of this book. It goes deep into management, deep into team building, business setup, and I'm again trying to leave it out, but a lot of the stories and anecdotes that he says really tie well into how you can use it for your own life, not necessarily for business startup, but for attacking problems and for attacking hard things that happen to you in your life, whatever that may be. So that's all I have for today. So go out and get a copy of The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. It's an interesting book to read. Definitely wasn't my first choice of book to go through. But I think once you get past the IT specific story and the startup specific stories, there are some valuable lessons in how Horowitz approaches life and how he approaches setting up successful businesses, one of which he started up, it almost went bankrupt, and then he sold that for $1.6 billion. So here's someone that's failed but has recovered from this failure very, very well. And this has been someone on the Mindset Toolkit podcast. Thanks for your time. And remember, what you learned today will serve you tomorrow. So go out and go get it.